WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo!
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Let's go!
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, WWE Universe with no headshots and no blood allowed. Let's put on Extreme Rules and see how well that goes. It is another pay-per-view recap episode with me, Omega, the be-all, end-all of the little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Insert funny line here, I'm not creative.
Well, I'm not either, what are you talking about? Jeez, I'm just making this shit up. And joining us tonight, since, we decided we'd upgrade our Tim Stein tonight into something far better, a Lindsay Ward.
Can we just cover the pay-per-view and then play Evil Apples to Apples?
She's been in the mood to go to hell lately.
I have.
It is May 19th.
It is May 19th.
It is, after all, that date that we shall not mention.
Hey, you know what? They had a story up on WWE.com about it.
And if it's on WWE.com, you know it's true.
Why? Why would they remind anybody of that date?
Because they can? I don't know.
I know, between the necrophilia angle or how well the movie did, why would you ever bring it up again?
Because you can...
JBL did on the show. So there's many references to that date we shall not mention.
Hey,
we now put this down in history. May 19th, the day Tim Stein didn't show up for this show. Yay! Anyway.
There's a horrible joke here to make. I'm not going to make it.
Oh, you're
does that suddenly turn the day to a positive?
I think so. Possibly, who knows. But anyway, this is WrestleTalk Radio, as if you didn't know it by now. And we're here to cover Extreme Rules, and let's start where they started. With a pre-show, and that featured Cody Rhodes and The Miz. Thoughts? Anyone?
Wasn't a bad match.
Omega.
WWE champion beat Cena at WrestleMania. He's working the pre-show.
2 months in a row.
Deep breaths.
I'm sad.
I know.
I think the biggest news out of the pre-show was we had Mick Foley and Wade Barrett in his wrestling gear.
No, he had pants on.
He had pants on?
He had pants on.
Just had his fist taped.
I know where she was looking.
Damn right. That's the first thing I'd look for. Is he wearing pants or not?
Staring at the bull hammer.
Come on, like, you don't try to figure out which Bella Twin is which.
That would involve paying attention to them.
You still look. Notice he doesn't deny it.
Yeah, I know,
so about
right?
The match.
Back to the match. What do you think? Oh, my God.
It wasn't a bad opening match. I mean, Miz actually accomplished the figure four. That's something.
Oh, God. Apparently we got to do something. Apparently. Let's see what this happens. Let's see what this does. We're getting sidetracked at the moment. We have a caller on the show. Caller, welcome to WTR Sunday night.
Hello, who's this?
I mean, I guess, who's this? Who are you?
This is the guy that pays for the server, you geniuses. I got somebody here who wants to relay a message. Hang on just a second.
Why don't you just yell it out?
Don't pick on my father! There you go. You've heard it from a kid who's as tall as me and ready to kick Mace's ass, so shut up.
Is that all you wanted, Tim?
Well, is that all we wanted? Yeah, because we didn't get the chance to see the pay-per-view, so pretty much that's it.
The chat room is calling you a cranky caller.
Hang on a second. The chat room's calling me a cranky caller. What do you want to say to the chat room?
Shut up.
No, don't say shut up to the chat room. That's my job. You see, I'm training him very good. I'm training my son, Owen James, very well.
Yes, you are, Tim. Yes, you are.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, hang on just a quick sec. Just say hello to everybody listening, because you've got about 1,000 people tuned in. Listen right now.
No.
Just say hi, everybody.
Hi.
What's your name? Come on. Don't make me give you another noogie.
I dare you.
Here you go. Oh, I gotta go. We're getting into a fight here.
Alright, bye then.
Bye.
And the chat room said hi to Owen. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was a random Tim Stein.
Extremely. We were having a great day until that happened.
Oh, dearie.
And I think
we didn't even get to ask him if this sounds like us hanging up on him.
I know. And apparently,
we can't do that to him in front of his son.
Apparently, if Tim's actually
bullshit.
If Tim's actually still listening to this stream, because it probably is.
Coward hiding behind your son.
The chat room wants Owen to take him out. Kick his ass, Owen. Owen, take him to the woodshed.
Go, Owen! We're rooting for you!
So there you go. Anyway, back to a less competitive match, Miz and Cody Rhodes. Anything? We had the figure four.
Yeah. The figure four.
Cody Rhodes tapped out to the figure four in the pre-show, so playing along, Miz won. Our opening contest officially was Chris Jericho and Fandango. What do you think, Omega?
Hey. Not bad. I mean, I still don't know why they're paying so much attention to Fandango.
Right.
Because once again, Jericho had to carry him to a half-decent match.
Mm-hmm.
Can this feud be over now?
Since they won 1-1, probably not.
Oh yeah, they have to look for payback.
Mm-hmm.
Can't hate that name.
It's better than capital punishment.
Well, not really, because when you name your pay-per-view payback, you pretty much dictate a bunch of return matches.
Well, yeah. But most of the, you know, we've had Vengeance there, we've had Capital Punishment, and now Payback. So they all kind of scream rematches.
You know, at least before we had Backlash after WrestleMania, and that made sense. What? Now we wait a couple of months after WrestleMania to have the revenge-based pay-per-view.
It saddens me that they got rid of Backlash. Such a great name.
Yeah.
I miss Judgment Day.
That was a good one, too. What do you think of the match, Lindsay?
I kept trying to figure out who had the tackier pants, to be honest.
She is very pants-oriented tonight.
I'm sorry, when you cram every color of the rainbow on both sides, it's hard to pay attention to the wrestling, especially when the wrestling wasn't that great. So what am I going to do? I'm going to pick on the fashion because I'm a girl, and that's what I do.
See, they have to throw that match out first because that's the color test to see if all the cameras are set right.
That explains it.
Apparently. That's got to be it. But, and I also miss the brunette. I like the brunette dancer better.
The actual trained dancer?
The actual trained dancer. Nothing against Summer Rae, but yeah, I like the brunette better.
Mace, where do you stand? Summer Rae or the brunette?
I stand between them.
Well, there you go.
I love how he gave up on the match.
No, I'm going to get to the match. I just want to throw him off a bit. What do you think of the match, then? Again.
I'm pretty much with Omega on this one. Mm-hmm. Can we be done with this now? Can we move on? Can we put Fandango back into NXT or OVW or wherever the hell they found him?
Probably not.
Dump him in a freight crate backstage.
Pretty much. A la the Spirit Squad.
Mm-hmm. So, in case you didn't see the show, Chris Jericho beats Fandango. Is surprised by the outcome?
Not really.
Surprised that they actually put Jericho over Fandango, because I think Jericho's whole concept was, let's make people. Guess not.
Well, you have to make people, yes, but you also can't make Jericho look completely useless. You have to give him a win here and there,
right.
Or, you know, there's just no point to putting over new talents. Like, well, hey, I just beat Chris Jericho on pay-per-view. Yeah, get in fucking line.
And he did beat him at the bigger
plus,
show.
Building people up was Jericho's idea.
Right.
Creatives. You remember, creative doesn't like building new stars.
To be fair, Fandango got the win at WrestleMania, and that's
right.
A bigger win than tonight, so it doesn't really hurt him that much to lose Jericho tonight, especially if they're going to go to Payback and you ultimately have Fandango win the feud.
True.
I know,
Miss
but...
is already shuddering it. I gotcha. So yes, Chris Jericho wins, Fandango takes the loss, and we'll see some sort of dancing from Fandango tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. It was up next, United States Championship, Kofi Kingston versus Dean Ambrose. What do you think?
Did Kofi actually, like, defend the belt before this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was about to say, first defense out and he loses. Great champ there.
No, he defended the belt against Cesaro on Main Event a couple weeks ago.
So he's never defended the title before.
let's be fair.
Because let's face it, nobody watched that show, and it was against Cesaro, and nobody cared.
Actually?
When you face Cesaro, you're not really defending much of anything.
Actually, that was the one match WWE praised Cesaro for, and they were starting to give him a push, and then, well, that lasted 1 week. What did you think of the match, though, Mace?
It was actually a very good match. I'll give them that. Lots of good back and forth. Again, the way Dean comes off when he wrestles one-on-one, it's like he sits there and studies tapes on his opponents for hours before getting in the ring. The only issue I have, Dean needs to realize that you can emote with your face when selling. Don't go to the Lance Storm school of selling. But just stay stone face.
Gotcha. What do you think, Omega?
I pretty much agree. I really don't have much. I don't have much problem with Dean. Mm-hmm. So, in a weird way, I kind of hate how this was done, just because it pretty much telegraphed the outcome of the next Shield match of the night.
Right.
But I was really happy with the match. I liked how it went. Kofi hitting Trouble in Paradise on the top rope looked like it hurt like hell.
I love JBL screaming, "You can just leave him out there. You can win by count out. Don't
I know.
You are
and
the
it's
champion."
A good point.
It is. It's a really good point. It is a champion's advantage.
It's putting logic in wrestling, and that is just not done.
JBL was...
See, here's the way. When a little flaw like that happens, like when a champion just, you know, has an easy way of winning and then doesn't take it, mm-hmm. you know, it makes it better, because when you point out that flaw, it's no longer a flaw. It's an observation. That's right. When you have another announcer cover it. You know, and you have it's either Cole or King going, "Well, he doesn't want to win that way. That's not how he wants to defend his belt."
Right.
Okay, so, yeah. You turn a flaw in logic to something that's actually character building.
Mm-hmm. Smart. Lindsay, what do you think?
I thought this was a great match. Really well done. Great back and forth. The Trouble in Paradise to the head off the apron looked sick. Dean's finisher looked sick. Roman Reigns picking Dean up afterwards and shaking him like a rag doll was terrifying.
Yeah, I got worried then too. I'm looking at Roman going, "Roman, don't squeeze him any harder. His head will pop off.
You're going to break him. Stop." Play nice with your own teammate. Good Lord. Other than that, I liked it. It was very enjoyable. It made up for some of the other stuff previously and some of the other stuff later, and my only qualm with it was the white shirt was really distracting at times, because he's in all black except for the white undershirt. And I thought it was a little interesting before the match when you had Roman and Seth come out with Dean,
But don't leave us in suspense.
We're hanging on every word.
You two sound like those fucking aliens off the Smith Street.
Yep.
Oh, God. Wow. We've just completely fallen apart. That's only taken us about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
To be fair, we literally derailed here. We lost somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
So anyway, while Lindsay leaves us in suspense because our internet fucked up.
Let's talk about Dean's finish. Because we were bringing it up in the chat earlier. What do you think of it, Mace?
It's... Okay, from a worker point of view, it is probably one of the safest looking... one of the safest finishes for the guy to take. All it is just a straight front bump. Mm-hmm. And the way it's delivered makes it look very impactful.
Right.
So it's that nice combination of impactful yet safe, which is great, and it suits his character really well. Omega.
No, but yeah. First,
but.
Lindsay?
Yes?
We left you off at but.
I forgot my point. Good match, White Shark.
You left us hanging there.
What did I say before it? I might remember.
I can't remember either.
We just went.
Did I get to the point of it was interesting how they left Dean?
Yes, that's where. Yeah. And but. Then you said but. And we said but for about 2 minutes straight.
I think it was, but everybody was expecting shenanigans in one or both of the matches, so I guess that's why they did it.
And we got our answer.
I can sleep now.
If you couldn't sleep before that, you have problems. Seek professional help.
Paging Dr. Shelby. Omega, what do you think of his finisher?
It's a really good one for him. It's easy to set up. It's very easy to set up. It looks vicious. It can be hit really quick. You know that's a diamond cutter style finisher. You can hit that pretty much out of nowhere whenever you want. So I really like it. I mean, I've said it before in here. I'm really sick of these impact finishers where everyone gets spears or running kicks or anything like that. I'm happy to see a grapple and slam finish again. Mm-hmm. Especially one that I haven't seen lifted from somebody from, 15 years back.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of Jeff Jarrett's stroke.
I could see why it would.
Yeah, but the way it's set up, yes.
Yeah, there's a front leg sweep involved too. Same with Miz's skull crushing finale. So,
but this is more directed on the head. So yes, Dean Ambrose is your United States Champion, Omega.
Congrats. No. We kind of expressed hesitation about the Shield winning titles in this manner, but I guess we'll get to this more when the tag match comes up. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. But I don't know. It is deserved because they've been some of the best workers there is, and as we've seen with the likes of Wade Barrett, they really don't care how they treat the mid-card belts.
Right.
So. For all we know, they'll retire the fucking things while they're wearing them.
Or they'll make Dean Ambrose the greatest United States champion in history.
One or the other.
One or the other. They can go two ways on that one. Hopefully it's the latter. Up next, it's a strap match. Mark Henry and Sheamus. This time it's improved. They gave us lights.
The good guy will be green. The bad guy will be red. For benefit of everyone with IQ of 4.
Which is half the audience.
Technically, she's right. Before we get into the match itself, light gimmick. Good, bad, indifferent.
Well, the light gimmick works just because it helps to keep track, especially when you're doing a more confusing spot, like, Sheamus tagging them as Henry turns around.
Right.
So, it does work for that, yes, but, it is a very simple thing of, well, wasn't that fucking obvious? it's very much in your face about, oh, hi, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Mace? Do you like the light idea? Do you hate the light idea? What do you think?
I'll be honest with you, I took a nap. I haven't slept for the last couple of days, so it sort of caught up with me during this match, and I'm like, it's Sheamus and Mark Henry.
All right, Lindsay.
Like I'm gonna miss anything.
Mace. It can all end. You just have to tell me that there are five lights.
Don't start with the Doctor Who stuff. Just don't.
Oh, no. Lindsay, you just disappointed me so much.
All right, Lindsay.
I'm sorry.
Wrong-running sci-fi show.
What sci-fi show is that from?
Star Trek. Thank you, Ken.
Wait. Which season of Star Trek?
Next Generation.
Okay, I never really watched Next Generation that much.
You will be punished later.
I watched the old school Star Trek, thank you.
Okay, Lindsay. Light gimmick. Good, indifferent. What do you think of it?
Kind of indifferent. It made it kind of suck because they kept overemphasizing it. It's like, good God, shut up, we get it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it serves its purpose. It's a good way to keep track for everybody involved to know how the match is going. Like, okay, I hit one corner, I hit two corners, I hit three corners, and Mark Henry just slammed me, so no go.
Right.
So, yeah, it worked.
Now,
it is what it is.
Now, I'll stick with you. What do you think of this match? Because I know going in, you were looking forward to it.
I was really disappointed. I wanted a slobber knocker. I wanted these two guys to beat the ever-living fuck out of each other, and they didn't do it. I'm really disappointed with this match.
Omega.
When they first announced that it was going to be a strap match, I didn't have this match in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was going to be, everyone gets a leather strap, and it's legal to hit with them.
Right.
You know, because this is a bull rope match. Or a four corners match, one or the other.
Well, it is a strap match. They've had strap matches like this in the past.
I know, it's just, they've had strap matches like this, and then they've had strap matches where straps are weapons.
Right.
You know, I just like a little bit of distinction here.
Okay.
Because it's confusing branding, that's all I'm saying. I would have looked, I would have been more happy about this match later on if it had been announced as four corner match.
Or if they announced it as a country whipping match, which they did last year.
I don't think you could get away with putting the black guy in a country whipping match. I'm just saying.
I understand. That's why they called it a strap match. Spook in our chat room. Spook in our chat room asks, what if you're colorblind? How would you know which light was which?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Hmm.
This is not a bad point.
Give him the answer, Micah.
Technically, there's different levels of color blindness. Some people can't see certain spectrums. It's not just you either see color or it's all I Love Lucy.
Thank you, Dr. Omega.
I don't know. Next year we can have little paper cutouts of their heads pop up. How about that?
That would be fantastic.
That would be terrifying.
if you think about it. It would. So Sheamus wins. Surprised?
It was an overcome the odds style situation, so not especially.
Okay.
Yeah, considering that they built up Henry with as the man who could pull two trucks, mm-hmm. This should have been extremely easy for him to win.
Yes, but we should note there at some point during the match he did injure his left shoulder. Apparently, that's what's been going around. So,
well, still, this would have been an easy match as okay. Okay, wrap him up like a kid in a blanket, hoist him over shoulder, walk around ring.
Well, he sort of did it at times. He tied his legs up and dragged them.
Which wasn't a bad spot, except, you know, he just didn't put enough effort into it.
Well, that's been the problem with Mark Henry throughout his entire career.
There's only so much you can do when you look like a chocolate Pillsbury Doughboy.
This is true. We go backstage. We have AJ and Caitlin talking about craziness and Looney Tunes and concussions. And then we had Bella's and Tamina backstage watching as those two brawled. I guess the only thing Lindsay saw in this was, oh, look, pretty shirt, pretty shoes.
I want AJ's new shirt. I am kind of praying when I go to the show on Friday that they have AJ's new shirt.
It is a cool shirt.
Because it will be coming home with me.
Along with AJ. But she's probably...
No, she's not at the show.
Oh, damn.
But the Bells may go back one short.
Gotcha. What do we think of this little bit? Continuing the feud decently, Omega?
Yeah, not a bad continuation. I mean, it's a pay-per-view, so anytime, you can get the Divas on there without wrestling, that's not bad.
Giggery Mace?
Well, considering that we'd already used up the strap in the previous match.
Ow.
What? Come on, like, there's not other people out there who wouldn't mind seeing Caitlin versus AJ with the strap involved.
What? Wow. He takes AJ over her knee and gives her a good slap to the ass?
We just learned something about Mace here.
Why don't we just make it a bra and panty strap match?
That's not PG.
And the strap is?
I guess. I don't know what ratings are like in America. You guys get away with all sorts of crazy shit over there.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to do that. Just a hunch. Something tells me the paddle on a pole match or the strap on a pole match got retired for the Divas.
Damn it.
It would be hot, but it got retired, I think.
As Kane Ken says, the HLA match no longer in existence. So, they move the funeral. Oh. Yeah.
By the way, before you move on, I would like to point out this is how girls actually fight.
Right. They
scratch. They go everywhere. They scratch each other's eyes out with their friends hooping, hollering, and cheering them on. The only thing that wasn't necessarily real is eventually the friends get into it with the other girls' friends, and then it's just a massive brawl.
Now, the big thing from this backstage segment that Twitter was going crazy was Tamina was holding a banana the entire time. This was all
she
over.
She just came back from catering.
So, wait. Jeez,
what'd you expect, a coconut?
So she's practicing the CB radio safe word? I mean,
yes,
what?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Well, when Mace wants strap matches in the Divas division, you need one.
As Starscream Josh says, the show's getting really kinky.
You have no idea. You missed Apples to Apples night last night.
Yeah, you did. We got a new card. That's awesome.
Our favorite word is a verb now.
It is. It really, really is. We'll get through one more match before we go to break. I Quit match. Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger. The question I ask, Omega, do you quit?
No.
Do you quit?
No.
Do you quit?
No.
Do you quit?
What's in it for me?
Less Tim Stein?
Give me a minute.
Oh, God, they asked that question so much in the first, like, 2 minutes.
I hit him with a stick. Ask him. I hit him again. Ask him again.
They asked
he ceased. Asked him.
They asked after the first move.
Like, come on now. We've seen really violent I Quit matches, and then we get this. Mace thoughts?
Hey, Swagger. Ask him.
Follow that, Mace.
I can't.
Oh, God, now...
too much asking. Yeah.
Mace is ready to quit.
Yep. I'm done. Rich. Fuck this shit.
You're a bear.
Pretty much.
Or he's Spider-Man.
Or he's Spider-Man, yeah. That was another new one. Alright, thoughts on the match, Amanga?
I have to go back and see the ending, because I'm pretty sure Alberto Del Rio kicked one arm and then put the arm breaker on the other.
Hmm.
Which made no sense. I might have been seeing it wrong, though. At that point, I was only half paying attention.
What do you think of the match, Lindsay?
I'm sorry. Am I watching a football game or am I watching professional wrestling? Because I could have sworn I saw instant replay.
Yes, for those unaware, the match ended with a little bit of instant replay involved. Jack Swagger had the ankle lock on Alberto Del Rio, and Ricardo was going to throw in the towel, but he didn't. But Zeb Coulter got a hold of it. The ref wasn't looking. Zeb threw in the towel, and then the ref saw the towel and called for the bell and declared Jack Swagger the victor, until another referee came down and they talked about using instant replay, which JBL was like, since when do we have instant replay? And that's the biggest question.
This is professional wrestling. There is no instant replay in professional wrestling. If there was, you would have to go back and reverse almost every finish to every match. Because the heel cheats every time.
Someone mentioned on Twitter, I don't remember who, but if they had instant replay all along, the Bellas would have zero victories.
There you go.
Mace, are you a fan of instant replay?
In situations like this, sure. But, yeah. No. Fuck this, I'm a tree.
Omega.
I mean,
go ahead, Lindsay.
No, sorry. Go ahead, Omega.
No, go ahead, Lindsay. Finish your point.
No, I was just going to say, it's like you have the other referee run down and tell him, Ricardo did not throw in the towel. That should have been enough. Because it's another official coming down and telling Mike Chioda, dude did not throw in the towel. Restart the damn match.
Right.
No, you have to go over to the timekeeper. They have to put a TV up onto the barricade for you to watch the match. And then it's, oh, we have to rewind the footage to this point for you to see it.
The biggest thing is they have a monitor there. Who knew?
It's, I guess, for the timekeeper. I don't know.
They're like 5 feet away from the ring. Can't they look at the ring?
So are the announcers. They're looking at TV screens.
Yeah, and I don't know if you realize this. There's a really fucking big screen in that room.
Yeah, which in the past they've used. They've used the big Titantron. This time it was like baseball and football where they actually go over to a monitor.
Yeah, it was like... And he's going, you know, rewind the footage to this point where, you know, Ricardo throws in the towel. It's like... You just had another official tell you to restart the match that Ricardo didn't throw in the towel. That should be enough.
Spook in our chat room goes, ask a fan. They saw it. They would tell you the truth.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like, why are you breaking out a TV? And another thing I kind of want to gripe on, and this is going to be really stupid, but they're sitting there talking Alberto Del Rio up as he's coming out, and, you know, they're saying, oh, he's an immigrant. He's living the American dream and all this stuff. And I'm like, isn't he an aristocrat billionaire from Mexico?
Mm-hmm. Or that was his gimmick.
That was his gimmick, so that means he still has his money, right? So is it the American dream to, you know, succeed and be wealthy and all that kind of stuff? So didn't he kind of already...
It's the American dream to earn your wealth in another country and then move here.
So he's already got his wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. I'm just going to stop now.
Omega, you the fan of the instant replays? Or no?
If there was instant replay in pro wrestling, we'd never have another dirty finish ever. Again, I could only see it in a case when, you know, there is shenanigans like this. It's just so bullshit that another referee does have to come down. But in that case, the points have already been made. The other referee's words should have been law.
Right.
You know, it's not like, no, he, dude, you're just fucking with me. Did Del Rio pay you off? Like, yeah. It's bullshit.
Now those Kane games goes to the announcers throwing challenge flags now. We challenge the calls.
JBL gives out red cards.
Red cards. We're now playing by soccer rules. Okay then.
He's a soccer fan?
He is a soccer fan. Yes, he is. If you ever watched the JBL and Cole show, you would know.
Well, it's a red flag, but it's one of the little ones he plants in the mountains.
With his Michael
Cole. This is pro wrestling. This is tougher than soccer. You gotta take a dart to the neck to get a flag.
Well, there you go. Any final thoughts on this matchup before we go to break?
Thank God Swagger lost.
Yes, thank God Swagger lost.
I was half convinced they'd get a quit out of Del Rio by waterboarding Ricardo.
Well, on that note,
nothing.
I got no follow-up for that one whatsoever. Alberto Del Rio is your number one contender, and he will eventually face Dolph Ziggler whenever he is healthy. When we come back, we will get into the final 1, 2, 3, 4 matches on the show, including, as Omega put it, one really long squash hardcore match. So we'll get into all that and more. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
And now, haiku time, with Venedaso Diane, some dumb Aussie git.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but later is a slut.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of guy talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise scene, Douglas.
plus insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
I came to play! There's a price to pay! Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome!
Radio Network presented in part by PWMania.com and MemLeanPromo.com. We are now getting into the final four matches of the show. And with that music, we start with the tag team title match. Team Hell No against the Shield, Mace.
Yep.
Team Hell No.
Okay, look. Again, it's the same thing I said with Ambrose. These guys look like they knew who their opponents were and could work with them really well.
Mm-hmm.
Kane and Ryan clicking exceptionally well as a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hitting nice little combo moves here and there. And Seth Rollins delivers one of the best flying knees I've seen in years.
I would agree with that. Lindsay, Daniel Bryan got really, really red tonight.
He did get really, really red. He and Kane decided to sync up on their gear.
You know, let's have a match where we know we're dropping the belts. Let's get matching gear.
Well, just because they're dropping the belts doesn't mean they're breaking up.
I know. But, you know, you figured by now they would have already had matching gear?
Well, they kind of do. And they kind of don't. It just depends when they wear it.
Right.
But
what do you think?
I thought the match was absolutely fantastic. This is one of the best matches of the night. I mean, these four guys work so incredibly well together. And Rollins and Reigns look like they've been a tag team for 20 years. They are just that in sync with each other. And Bryan and Kane were right on the level with them as well. I mean, like I said, this was just a great match. Very enjoyable to watch. The only downer was that it, with Dean winning the title earlier in the night, like Omega said, it sort of forecasted the ending to this match.
This is where I go to Omega. Omega, who loves tornado matches?
Omega loves tornado matches.
Is it true?
I knew you were going there, and I'm not giving you the clip.
Damn it.
What, is this like Omega, like short shorts or something?
No, this is an orange soda reference from Kenan and Kel.
Yes, I went there.
I think I know what he's going for. Let's nibble at the bait and see what happens.
Exactly. So what do you think of this tornado?
Fucking asshole. I do like my tornado tag matches. I like how all over the place they are. I like how it opens up to a lot more double team moves.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more false finishes. It's just a far more exciting brand of tag match. So, very cool when they break it out. I wish it was a little bit more frequent than, Extreme Rules. This is the first one I've seen in quite a while, actually.
Well, if you go back to the last pay-per-view encounter between these gentlemen at TLC, it kind of had a tornado feel, even though it was like a ladder match, I believe. Or a TLC match. Had that same type of feel.
Well, anytime you put some kind of stipulation like a ladder or Extreme Rules into it, yeah. But there always tends to be more of a focus. Here, they're either going for ladders or they're setting up ladder spots. Here, they're setting up spots with each other. They're setting up double team moves, and they play a lot more like, well balanced and just very in sync tag teams. Which is a demonstration I like rather than we're all in a tag match, so let's just fly at each other all the time.
Right. Do you think this match felt rushed in any way?
Not really. I mean, okay, it's a tornado tag. It's going to be a quick-paced match.
Right.
You're not waiting for hot tags. You're there's no slowdown spots. There's no real rest spots because when... one guy's when two of them are resting, the other two are in.
Right.
So, it's a match that can really keep its pace well, and it can have a fast pace without really losing anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's another reason why I like them so much. But yeah, I thought it was a really good solid match. And again, if it hadn't been telegraphed by Fearless Leader winning, sure. That would have made it all the better, but I have no complaint.
If you were booking this
Hold on. Fearless Leader, does that mean that Rollins and Reigns were going after Moose and Squirrel?
Yes.
Kind of fits, doesn't it?
If you think about it.
But the thing is, I know most people would probably see Reigns as Bullwinkle, but I see Rollins.
No,
hey,
I see Reigns,
watch me pull a rabbit out of my head.
No, it's, hey, Brian, watch me pull a rabbit out of my mask.
Yeah.
Because keep in mind, Brian is the one that flies on the team.
He is.
And now here's something you really like.
As I was going to say, Mace, if you were booking this show, would you put this match on before the U.S. title match?
No. Either way you did it, it was going to end up being... if the tag match went on first and they won, you're pretty much going to be going into it going, Ambrose is going to win.
Right.
And vice versa. So, I think it was more fitting that the guy that Triple H says has a bright future with the company gets the first title out of the group.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Lindsay.
And as I said in our production chat, all they need to do is win the IC title and the Davis title, and then they'll have all the insignificant gold. Sorry,
so AJ wins the belt and then goes starts dating Dean?
Yeah, I can see that, actually. Think of AJ and Dean together. The crazy.
I think she'd look hot in riot gear.
Dude, he could be the Joker and she could be his Harley.
We've tried that before. They didn't go for it.
They could do it here. I have pictures of him as a very convincing Mr. J. It would work.
I have no transition, so the Shield win and are the new tag team champions.
You can tell how much we paid attention to this pay-per-view, can't you?
You can. We're getting into details. And now, in what Omega called a really long, hardcore squash match, it's Extreme Rules. Randy Orton and the Big Show Omega.
See, I know what they're going for here. Look how much Orton has to do just to get Big Show down for 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's spot after spot, RKO on the chair, you know, Show misses the splash on the big ladder. It's the head punch. Come on! Okay, at this point, I'm not watching a match. I'm watching a fucking mugging. It just felt like, you know. I know what they're going for, but it felt so goddamn one-sided.
Speaking of that ladder spot, ouch.
Yeah.
Mace. Ladder spot.
Nap time.
Nap time again for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Mace went nap time. Lindsay, ouch.
Yeah, I would agree, ouch.
What do you think of the match overall?
The match was... I hate to say this, but it was a match. I mean, it just... This didn't really feel like it had any heat or intensity to it. It was just kind of there. It's like, okay, well, we don't have anything for Show and Orton to do, so we're just going to throw them together in a match and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was... Yeah, it was nice to see Randy pull out the punt to the head. I will give it that, because it's like they put out, you know, this pay-per-view is not going to be PG, as we, you know, somewhat saw, because there was some more high-risk stuff that was done tonight than they usually do.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see Randy finally get so desperate that he's got to pull out that punt to the head was a nice way to finish the match, but that's after, what, 2 or 3 RKOs, one on a chair? So I kind of have to agree with Omega. It's just like it's thing after thing after thing to get Big Show down, and Big Show really didn't get much offense in on Randy Orton, because, I mean, let's be realistic. If this were a real fight, all Show would have to do is pick Randy Orton up and snap him in half, and that would be it.
Right. So Spook mentions the top rope DDT got a nice pop. I would agree, it did. Like you guys said, this match was just there, and going in, this was the match of Mega where we thought either one could win.
Either one could win because neither one had anything to accomplish.
Now the question is, did Randy Orton accomplish anything with the win?
Gave Big Show a vacation.
Yeah, we're all in agreement. Big Show's going on a vacation for now.
Yeah, let him come back. He'll go for a face run. Why not?
He can come back just in time for Payback.
I would keep him out a little bit longer than Payback. I don't want to see this match again. Randy Orton wins. And, yeah, we all move on to the WWE Championship. Last Man Standing. John Cena versus The Ryback. Mace, you woke up for this one?
Yeah, it's in part. I woke up, but I didn't really pay attention.
Omega? The match started slow. Really slow. Jeez.
I wonder which of Cena's four moves he forgot to learn the powerbomb.
Uh-huh. We had a powerbomb. Took him about 10 minutes before he realized, oh, let's work over the ankle.
I don't expect Ryback to have much scientific wrestling ability.
No, no.
I after this one, I do have... I do have to question his strategy when it comes to beating the nine count. Because it seems like every time he was down,
mm-hmm.
he was up at nine, and then he was right back down.
Well, he needed to catch his breath. I guess.
See, this is the time when you have to count on the announcers to make up for the shortcoming of the wrestler. Okay, because, you know, you're watching at home, you're going, okay... Why the fuck is he doing that? I mean, he was on his feet, but for like a split second. You know, I've seen other refs count that as not getting up because he's not under his own power and he's not stable.
Right, because you don't have to be up on your feet for at least a second before, you know, they say you're up.
Yeah, there's some points where it's like, I blinked and I missed when Ryback was up on his feet and apparently broke the count. Mm-hmm. This is the point where you have to count on an announcer smart enough to go, this is a good strategy by Ryback. He's breaking that count, but then he's going right back down to catch his breath. He's getting a break out of this and, you know, milking that count for all it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
No one picked up on it.
No one
helped him out.
No.
Ryback just looked really bad doing it.
Yeah, kind of. Would you agree with me, Lindsay, that the match picked up once they got into the crowd?
Yeah, the match picked up. It was really kind of slow and dull and not exciting for what you would think of a last man standing match because, again, a lot of these steps, it's extreme rules and they're meant to be extreme and it's like we have such a great history of last man standing matches where they are incredibly violent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's same thing goes for I Quit and pretty much all the matches on this card. It's like you're expecting when they say last man standing, a very violent match because basically it's two guys beating the crap out of each other to keep each other down. And the match in the ring was like, eh? It was nice to see them go outside the ring. It was nice to see them go through the crowd to get up on the stage. I would say the spot on the stage for the finish was obviously the highlight of the match because nobody was expecting it and everybody kind of went holy shit
mm-hmm.
when it happened.
Right. Cena also went high risk and dove off the railing a little bit through a table. But backtracking just a little bit when we're in the ring, there was this point in the match where, I guess John Cena read the Kama Sutra Omega?
Oh my god, what the fuck was that?
Explain to the people, Omega.
My god, okay. Okay, somehow I thought, you know, it looked like Cena was going for a monkey flip or something,
mm-hmm.
and Ryback catches him, so Cena is just straddling right in the wrong spot. Holding on to Ryback by the neck. Ryback's holding on to the legs. And it's apparent that he's supposed to heft him up and give him a spine buster.
Mm-hmm.
And someone backstage forgot Ryback really isn't good at getting that power quickly to pull off a spot like that.
Right.
It takes him a minute. Ask Tensai.
Right.
So instead, they just kind of spent a minute executing some position. And they clearly, when the spot got botched, they had no fucking clue what to do. This is one of those cases where WWE's talent really does need to be taught to just abandon a spot and make something up. You know, instead, they were trying to get that spot to work. They eventually stopped and reset. But to put it as undelicately as possible. They stayed in that position long enough for Ryback to finish.
Oh my.
It wasn't good.
Speaking of the finish, we are on the stage and Ryback drives Cena through the LED lights. Big explosion, and they're both laid out in the back. And we have a no contest.
This keeps Ryback looking strong and saves them having to take the title off Cena.
I would agree.
A no contest was probably the best idea for them at this point.
I would agree. I would agree with that. Did we like the spot?
Ryback was up first. He should have technically won.
Yeah, after like a 50 count.
But
he was up first.
WWE.com or their Twitter or something, WWE Universe maybe, they pointed out he never went for the count. He just called for the paramedics to explain the whole no contest, no finish thing. And I liked how they were conveniently laid out in certain spots.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of weird, just not going to lie, the way they were laid out.
Yeah, it's just one of those... Well, when any time they vanish from sight, you know you're going to come back and they'll be in very convenient locations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the spot looked good.
All right.
Give him that. I find it hard to believe Ryback's working there that long and doesn't realize that that screen isn't very thick.
He's not very smart.
Really?
He likes to use the big words, but the brain usually is not there. Just pointing that out. What'd you think, Lindsay?
I never thought I would say this, but a fantastic sell by John Cena. Absolutely. He looked dead.
Yeah, I would agree. When they stretched John Cena off, he did look dead.
That was wonderful. And I loved Mini Nate's reaction. He's like, oh shit! And he runs away, and it's almost like, I didn't do it! I didn't see it! I wasn't there! Just tiny! Like, that was just awesome! I don't know why, but it was just so funny with him running off bouncing like that. But, yeah, the best part of this match was the finish, just because, like I said before, you weren't expecting Cena, them especially, to do something this high risk with Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was the potential that he probably could have gotten hurt, or Ryback could have gotten hurt in this spot.
This is true, and with Cena with his neck injuries, it's always difficult.
Right, but it looked absolutely fantastic. Came off 100% wonderful. I even loved how they had the pyro. And the fact that they sold it the rest of the night by having the black spot in the screen for the final match of the evening. But it's like, yeah, that was... I agree with Mace. That was probably the best way to end it, because you can't have Ryback lose, because if Ryback loses, he's done, and nobody wants Ryback as champion. So, yeah.
Best possible outcome you can think of.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, are we taking bets? How does John Cena appear tomorrow night? With a neck brace? In one piece?
In full health!
Skipping!
Yeah. Skipping, in full health. Yeah, he's gonna be fine, you know. A few hours under Earth's yellow sun and Superman will be fine.
So, whether you want it or not, payback's coming, and these two will probably fight for the title one more time.
Payback's gonna be a bitch.
Now it's time for our main event, the rubber
Speaking
match.
Of bitches.
Speaking of bitches, it's the main event time. It's a steel cage match. Brock Lesnar, Triple H. Mace.
With the walrus, could you?
Right.
this was exactly what you were expecting, with the exception of Brock spending 95% of it going, "Ow, my knee! Paul, my knee! I got a boo-boo on my knee, Paul!"
Yes! That's what I wanted to see, damn it!
Yeah, it was pretty much what we expected out of these two, with the exception of Brock Lesnar's constant bitching about his knee through most of the match.
Lindsay.
That's the most I've seen Brock sell ever. Like, seriously, not even lying. I think that's the most I've ever seen him sell. It was a wonderful match. It was a wonderful job on both their parts. Although Brock's sitting there going, "Oh my god, ow, my knee. My knee's broken. Ow, ow." Then he gets up and he stands on it. He's fine. Yeah, that was a little, yeah, needs some work. But other than that, match had great intensity. The new cage is shiny.
That's where I was going to go next. Yeah, new cage, Omega.
Yeah, new cage. Fine. I miss the blue bars.
Well, here's a newsflash. We'll probably never, ever get blue bars, except the WWE 13.
I can't take the chain link seriously. I have never seen someone beat Triple H while looking like such a bitch. It's a fine match, and I'll say it again. I see what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Brock is such a beast, he can get injured early and still beat the game.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Not exactly how you're supposed to sell that with him screaming.
Yeah, they could have killed the mics on this.
Thank God the ref wasn't asking if he quits in this match. Because he might have,
yes.
God. Okay, fine. He gets injured early in the match. Show it. Don't say it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to verbalize every single tinge you get in your knee. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That kind of spoiled the match for me. It kind of took me out of it, because he's just... Yeah, and I used the phrase earlier today with Lindsay. I mean, he's so over the top, I can't even fucking see him anymore.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, it's a good match that took me out of it too much.
Although, I have a question.
Yes?
The sledgehammer, did they just spray paint it silver, or did they find a steel sledgehammer?
I don't know.
Because I just kind of found that hilarious that the sledgehammer was painted silver, at least to look like metal, because it's like, oh yeah, Brock Lesnar broke the wood one, so I guess we need to get a metal one so he doesn't break it.
Well, it was hidden at the top of the cage, right?
Yes, it was camouflage. Yeah.
It's a stealth hammer.
Yes.
Ooh, shiny.
I kind of liked it with it being silver. It's kind of nice looking. It's different.
Yeah, it was different. It Especially when you had it up against Triple H, it really, and Brock, it popped. But I will say this, I liked that they finished it in the cage and you didn't have somebody escape, because I hate it when they escape.
Correct. We saw pedigrees to Heyman, pedigrees to Lesnar, did not finish the match, but a sledgehammer to the head and an F5 mace sealed the deal for one Triple H.
Yes, it did. Congratulations, Brock Lesnar. Now go and tend to your... Ow, my knee!
Did anyone notice that he crossed his arms with the sledgehammer?
Yes. I kept waiting for the gong, honestly.
Is that one of those other teases that Brock likes to do?
Maybe. I don't know at this stage.
Brock wants this. Brock wants that. Can Brock have this and that?
Well, Brock wants Rock, and Taker wants Brock, so maybe that's the compromise. Taker gets Brock. Or Brock gets Taker.
Quite possibly.
because, like, we've talked about before, think about what happens if Brock Lesnar absolutely destroys The Undertaker. Think about what happens if Brock Lesnar retires The Undertaker.
People would be going nuts.
You would hear me cry live right here on this show, just pointing that out.
Yeah. So, Brock Lesnar stands tall with one bad knee, which will be his out to go bye-bye for a while. Most likely. Just my thinking. How would you grade the pay-per-view, Mace, from what you saw?
Probably a C. It's an average show. Like, to be honest, the standout was the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much it, with the exception of, like, the ending to the Ryback Cena match, which is going to be absolutely ruined tomorrow on Raw. Thank you very much, WWE Creative.
Lindsay, how would you grade it?
I would agree with Mace. It's a C. It had its high points, and it had a lot of low points. Some of the matches were just really disappointing, and I mean really disappointing. I was expecting more from a lot of these, and it didn't deliver on some levels. I'm sorry Mark Henry got hurt. I'm really sorry to hear that. But, so I kind of have to wonder if the Sheamus Henry match would be better if Henry hadn't gotten hurt. But I'm kind of doubting it. Because honestly, I was really expecting them to just wallop each other
mm-hmm.
with that strap and with their fists. Because it's like you hear how much of a badass Henry is and how much of a badass Sheamus is. And then they just sort of get in there and slap each other around. So, yeah, I was expecting more from that. So, yeah, I give it a C. It was, maybe I just had my hopes too high.
Omega, where would you grade it?
I'd have to go with the consensus. It's a C pay-per-view. I mean, the Shield is going to elevate any show that they're on. I think that's pretty much a given from here on out. But it was a lot of rematches that we had just seen already. There's matches in there that really felt like they're just there to waste time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just... And all the good there is, the spots, some of the outcomes are balanced out by just how much was missed here in potential, in spots, in just overall quality.
Right. So this was an average pay-per-view, according to the panel. Though one person went 8-1 through one of the Pick'em challenge, that was Chris Pierce. Congratulations to you, sir. Get in contact with me. We may have a prize for you. To round out the host, I went 7-2. Scott Barry went 6-3. Lindsay went 6-3. Omega went 6-3. Mace went 6-2 because he wasn't around for the pre-show. And Tim Stein went 5-4.
Wait. 6-3?
Yes. That's what I have here written down, 6-3.
I gave you my picks earlier, so...
Yeah, you did.
And I only see two wrong on my list.
Alright, what two?
It was Big Show and Cena.
Kane Kittens? Want to explain? Because, you know... He's the one who puts this list together, so we'll see. We'll see how he had it. So we'll wait for him to, you know, respond, hopefully, at some point. So we'll maybe go back to that in a minute. Wait, you have seen
it? I like how I'm trying to defend my score that in this contest that has absolutely no relevance.
Did you have Dean by disqualification?
No.
That's what he has written down for you. He's
no.
That's what he had.
I said, Rock, you've got my list in your Skype window.
I understand that. I'm going to look for your the thing. Give me a second. I have like 10 windows open. Hold on a second. You know, because I got to do everything around here. So Kane Kane's had that one wrong. So you went what, 7-2 then?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Kane Kane's correct that. He went 7-2.
Fuck yeah. I more or less want to make it a point here that, you know, my C score is backed up by the fact that it was also quite predictable.
So using instant replay, Omega 7-2.
Wow.
As we tie it all together. There you go. And we didn't take for that long either to get that corrected. So Omega went 7-2. So, okay, see. You said DQ on the show. So that's what he wrote down. He never changed it in the sheet. So there you go. And this time Omega now drops because of that. See what you did? See what you did? You killed his internets. Way to go, King Kins. You killed Omega's internets. Good job. With that being said, that's the Pick'em Challenge. Right now, we go right into this week's Great Debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE champion of all time.
When that bell rings and the match is over, you are looking at the next WWE champion, and that's the Bobby Stone Cold Sexton.
This belongs to me, and this you earn. With blood, with sweat, with tears, and for 428 days, I have done just that. I have earned this. I have earned the right to be called champion. I have earned the right to be the man.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
So we have this week's Great Debate. Up first on the line, it is Mick Foley versus Bob Backlund. Lindsay.
Oh, Jesus, the Battle of the Crazies.
The Battle of the Crazies. By the way, Bob Backlund is crazy in his acceptance speech for the Hall of Fame. Just pointing that out.
I told you.
You did tell me, and I finally got a chance to see it. He is crazy.
Sadly, I never got to see Backlund mm-hmm. when he was wrestling, so I don't have a good grip on his title reign, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to go with Foley, because I've seen Foley's.
Okay. So. Mace, Backlund or Foley?
To be honest, from my limited knowledge, Backlund's main thing was the length of the reign. He was 6 years or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. And then he jobbed out to Kevin Nash in like 30 seconds.
Right.
Whereas Foley's had a good story to it. So, go Foley.
Omega, Foley or Backlund?
Yeah, the strength of Backlund's run is the length of it, and yeah, it does kind of kill your credit when you win the title and then lose it on an untelevised event in 7 seconds. Foley's has a better story to it. There's a lot more emotion, and it's the moment that changed the Monday Night Wars, so I'm giving it to him.
Mick Foley moves on. Edge versus Randy Savage. We'll stick with you, Omega.
That's tough. Shit.
An actual thought and debate.
I know. It's very early in this great debate for a stumper like that.
It happens.
I know it happens. It's a bitch. Randy's title reigns have some good stories to them. They do have some really good moments. I'm I'm giving it to Edge based on I like how they handled him as champion. I like the ultimate opportunist angle. I like how reliable they could put it on him and he'd make it look good.
I like how
he was a very anything it takes to win or anything it takes to worm myself into a title match approach to being champion. And yeah, it makes for a very slimy heel, but it also makes for a very good one that's hard to get the belt off of.
So you're going Edge. Okay, one for Edge. Miss.
Edge, so I love the whole again, I'm like Omega, it's too early for a brain stumper, my brain is not working well enough to answer the question. Where if I actually had some sleep last night, I'd probably be able to function better. But, I'd love to go Savage, but let's face it, he was always in Hogan's shadow. He got more of a remembrance with being King Randy Savage, so his accomplishment wasn't so much with the title, it was with the King of the Ring. And who didn't love the whole ultimate opportunist thingy? So we'll go with Edge.
Lindsay, you gonna make it unanimous?
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of have to. I mean, I'm not as familiar with Savage's reign. I'm more familiar with the IC title than I am with his reign as world champion. And also, I really think Edge defined who he was with his reigns as champion.
Right.
I mean, you saw him go kind of from the vampire kid to Reeking of Awesomeness to, like Omega and May said, the ultimate opportunist. Where he became that just really slimy character, and he was such an epic performer as that character, and you saw that character grow into something huge. And one of my favorite storylines is the whole, you know, when he married Vicky and how he took advantage of Vicky and how he did all that. And also the Lita storyline and just kind of how he progressed and how he grew into something so much more than what he was in the early part of his career. So, and he did that by using the title. The title was sort of the center focus for him. That was always his goal, was to get the title and hold on to it. And he would do anything he had to keep it.
So Edge moves on in the Great Debate. Next week on the Great Debate, Sergeant Slaughter versus Rob Van Dam, and the Big Show takes on Big Daddy Cool Diesel. So there you have that, which means we have one final segment, but I ask the question, is this the final segment, or are we doing apples to apples following the show, guys?
You know what? They'll have to tune in to find out. Ha!
Ah! Ooh!
Well, I want to make sure we keep the listeners, so that's why I'm asking. Anyway, moving on, quick hits. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Lindsay, what's your favorite weapon?
Oh, decisions. I'm always partial to a sword because that takes skill to use, but then flamethrowers are nice things too.
So, which is it?
George Carlin had. Sorry, just reminded me of something. George Carlin used to have a statement in his show. If the invention of the flamethrower means someone once had thought up, I sure would like to set those people on fire over there. I'm just not close enough to get the job done.
Damn right.
So what's it? What is it, Lindsay?
I'll go with the flamethrower.
Mace, what's the most extreme moment you have ever seen?
The most extreme, we talking wrestling or life or?
In general. That sounds like wrestling.
In general? Mm-hmm. Let's see, there's two, actually. One guy taking a dive over the edge of a balcony onto a concrete floor. And the other having to see the remnants of what happens when people get hit by trains.
Ew.
Yeah. And you wonder why I'm fucked up.
Yeah, really.
Damn, dude.
Okay then. Omega, what is the greatest name for a wrestler?
Greatest name for a wrestler? Jeez. See, I'm not sure that even has an answer, just because... Oh, jeez. Because it all depends on the wrestler that you actually have in the gimmick. You know, it depends on who they are. Jeez. Yeah, I've got an answer to this. Hang on.
He's Googling to figure, giving me the answer.
Yeah, I am. You know.
Now I heard you typing.
I just want to make, I want to make sure I get this. Oh, come on, tell me the full... fucking thing won't tell me the full name.
Chatroom says Shockmaster.
No, best name I've heard is Skull Reaper Aji.
Why?
Because in Japan, he turned into a politician, but he still wears his mask. Uh-oh. In the business suit, he still has the Skull Reaper mask. And I want to be represented by council member Skull Reaper.
So...
fucking love that.
So Skull Reaper is our equivalent to Kane?
No, it's Japan. There's a lot of masked wrestlers in Japan.
No, but did you see the picture of Kane in the suit this week?
From the soundboard. You didn't see the Kane soundboard?
No.
Well, there's a Kane soundboard now. I'm surprised you didn't see this. Wow. Okay. Let's see if I can find it really quickly, this show Omega. Here's the link to the Kane soundboard for Omega. And for those who didn't hear some of the quotes, here's one, you know, really, really quickly.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
And,
hey,
oh my god, what have they done to him?
Yeah, and here's one.
Your internet's slow. Did you disable cookies?
The fuck?
Hey, Rock, what time is it?
What time?
It's peanut butter jelly time.
Stop. The top one on the left-hand column, Rock.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
Or better yet,
Have you seen this new cat video?
Oh my god.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
So that's where Shelby went.
No, I'm not really a jelly guy. You know, I'm not really a jelly guy.
And one final one.
The new litter of puppies has arrived.
Spent all that time making him this big scary monster character, this kind of psychopath setting people on fire and electrocuting people and attacking Pete Rose endlessly, and now he's making weird quotes on the internet for laughs.
Thank you for holding. Your call is very important to us.
I told Rock if we ever get a phone system that it's the hold message.
If that voice told me to stay on the line, I would never let go of the phone.
Okay, then. So now you see why we set him in the suit?
Yeah. Got it.
Got it. Lindsay, if you won $600 million, what was the first thing you would buy?
If I won $600 million, what would be the first thing I would buy?
Uh-huh.
A plane to get home.
Oh, all right, besides a plane ticket home.
Mark Calloway.
Okay. Mace, this question came from one Rob Parks, so you've been warned.
Oh, God.
Who would you rather see in the banana hammock-style tights? Big Van Vader or Viscera?
I hope nobody out there ate recently.
Yeah.
I just had to put my popcorn aside. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And you should know, we had like a 10-minute discussion about stuff like this last night. I don't know how we got there, but we did.
Mm-hmm. No. Neither.
Neither? Neither?
Neither. Ew. No. No. Wrong. Banana. Banana.
I thought the safe word for this show was pineapple.
Yeah, this one.
Whatever the fucking safe word is, that's what it is. I quit.
Okay. Omega, if you owned a horse, what would you name it?
See, if I owned a horse, I'd give such a little shit about it that I'd just do something to fuck with the announcers. I'd name my horse I Have Impotency Problems.
Spook says, name it Horse.
I'd name it Coming Up on the Outside. Coming Up on the Outside, Coming Up on the Outside.
Stretch he comes. Okay, that works. I'll take that as an answer. Hey, you mentioned last night, you know, you're a big horse guy, so I had to bring it up.
Well, but before we head off, uh-huh. I want to ask Omega's reaction to this picture.
I will also consider clicking the picture. There's not enough fire in the world.
But like you said, it's only the cover.
It's only the cover, which is the only reason I haven't thrown myself from a cliff.
It's gonna happen eventually. The My Little Pony and Transformers crossover.
It has to happen. No. Fuck that. Fuck it. Fuck it. No. Fuck it.
Oh, poor Omega.
Coming 2015.
Directed by Michael Bay.
There you go. Okay.
If a pony blows up, I'm gonna go see it.
Tomorrow night, the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Join me and Lindsay as we cover 3 hours of Raw in about 45 minutes. Tuesday night, KFA Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. He'll be speaking with Mercedes Martinez and Hardcore Bob Holly. Wednesday night, Cheap Heat Radio, 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Scott Barry and Matthew Forsina. Thursday night, Lindsay Ward presents The Rack.
That's right, we're doing something different this week. We're doing Ask the Rack, so please send us your questions to media at Wild Talk Radio, contact at rackradioshow.com, at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, at Lynn's Ward on Twitter. Please get your questions to us no later than Wednesday afternoon by 5 o'clock. So that way we can go ahead and get them in order and answer them. That's right. We are answering any and all questions except for what is my boobie weight, because I'm not answering that. That's to you, Tim Stein.
But I sent you the scale and everything.
Well, I'll answer it for you in private, but I'm not answering it for Tim.
Yes, we want your questions, so... Send them to us, Ask the Rack, this Thursday on the Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern. Friday Night Mace, anything? Maybe? Don't know? Not sure?
At this stage, all things related to me are currently on hold due to a family issue.
Okay, Saturday Night Midnight-ish at CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and so we talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual, clearly. We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network at 10 p.m. Eastern. Omega, plug some stuff.
I'm sorry, I'm getting over shock and horror thanks to our little private chat.
I broke Omega.
And you should tell the people what you said.
No.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Lindsay, don't make me get you to read the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles script again.
I'll be good. Do I get candy?
No, but I might chip on the therapist bills.
No. My orders take priority.
She said Megan Fox plays Twilight Sparkle and she'll get a bang out of Optimus. There you go. She might listen to
So
your
find
orders.
Me on tjomega.org or YouTube at tjomega or Twitter at tjomega or Facebook at tjreviews, where someplace you'll probably see me hang myself.
Live for your pleasure.
Or you'll see Omega kill Rock. One of the two.
Face, plug something?
Actually, yes, I do have things to plug. surprisingly enough, last Friday I received an email basically saying that the Wild Talk Radio Network, on behalf of myself, will be going to the Penny Arcade Expo Australia edition come July. So that's all been made official. So you will see nice little things on the website, which basically reads Mace versus PAX Australia. And I'll be bringing you, like, 10-ton of press releases and flooding the site. Woo! Go me!
Mace is providing content to you, the loyal listeners of WildTalkRadio.com.
Yes.
And you should, at some point, follow him on Twitter, at the Mace Thing.
Yeah, you can do that. Not that I'm very interesting or ever actually post anything on there.
But he has...
Yeah, unless there's stuff to do with Doctor Who, in which case, what the fuck?
Lindsay...
You always ask me when to take a drink of water.
It's the timing I have.
I know you do. Follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward, LINSWARD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Go check out CassieRally.net. Listen to The Rack Thursday nights, 11 p.m. right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And, of course, go to RackRadioShow.com.
Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out CanadianAllPro.com. At some point, there will be results from last night's epic show featuring Johnny Devine and Kamikaze in what the fans voted a lumberjack match.
Yeah, thanks for letting us watch, Tim.
You can follow on Twitter at Canadian All Pro. We'll see you next Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Hopefully, Tim Stein will be doing this much talking, and I won't be doing as much. So for Mace, Omega, and Lindsay, I'm Sorakin. We'll see you next week, and, well, maybe in about 5 minutes.
I walk from my machine. I walk from my machine.
Wildtalkradio.com.